I would like to ask that we would please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word together this morning, and we will be reading together from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 to 22, and I believe that those are available also on the screen if you would like to join in reading together in unison. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who was made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new person out of the two, thus making peace, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Thank you. May God bless his word, and you may be seated. It's a real honor to share some thoughts from God's word with you this morning. And I believe that the theme of the service today is unity in diversity. Because if you would try to somehow describe American culture in a short statement, perhaps that is one way that you could describe it, is unity in diversity. In fact, because as you saw in even the video presentation, that in the United States we really have people coming from many backgrounds. In fact, even in my own family history, we have ancestors who came from Germany, some from Ireland, from Spain, from England, Scotland, and even some in my wife's family who came from Germany, and some who were Native American Cherokee Indians. And so we really have a variety of different cultures and backgrounds that come together in one nation. So that if you ask what is American culture, that's very difficult to describe. But actually in the early formative years of the United States of America, there was a motto that was inscribed in the seal, the official seal of the United States, and it's a motto that was written in Latin, and it states, E pluribus unum, which means, out of the many, one. And it seems as if those words were somewhat prophetic, because that is something of what has happened in the United States in the time that has passed since then. And actually, though, to be honest with you this morning, in American culture, we have seen some of the same struggles that I think all of us understand that are experienced all around the world today. Because even though our motto says, out of the many, one, sometimes our problem in the United States and perhaps other places as well is that we cannot even agree on how to accomplish that. We agree that out of the many we should be one, but we cannot always decide what would be the basis for our unity. And so we find the same struggle in America that perhaps we experience even in other nations around the world, and that is the struggle to answer the question, what is the basis for unity? And this morning I want to suggest that sometimes the mistake that we make as human beings is that we try to find human solutions for our human problems. Many times that we, even in the problem of peace and the need for peace and unity in our world and in our churches and in our communities, sometimes we try to find a point of unity or a basis for unity that is really a human standard. And because of that, instead of unity, it results in more division and more problems. Just for a few examples, and forgive me if I use some technical words here, but especially those of you who are in intercultural studies here at APNTS, I think these are terms that you will appreciate and be familiar with. That sometimes people have made race the basis for unity, but it resulted in racism, where one race is preferred above another. Some have preferred to make their family the basis of unity. Everything centers around their family, but sometimes even that has resulted in nepotism, where you prefer your own relatives above everyone else. Some people have made ethnicity the basis of unity, and this has sometimes resulted in ethnocentrism, where all other cultures are viewed as inferior to your own. Some have made nationality the basis of unity, and in the name of nationality, we have become guilty sometimes of nationalism. Some have made social status the basis, and this sometimes has resulted in many different isms: socialism, communism, capitalism, and for some, simply elitism, where if you are part of the elite, you stick together, as we say. Some have made political ideals the basis of unity, and this has resulted in favoritism and corruption. Some people have made religion the basis of unity, but this has only resulted in more isms than I can even name in one chapel service, okay? Some have made educational backgrounds the basis for unity, and this has resulted in an intellectualism. Others have made money and possessions the basis for unity, and this has resulted in materialism and greed. But in the scripture text that we have read this morning, we see here that Jesus Christ has offered for us a new basis for unity. He offers to us himself. Interestingly, I find in Jesus' example not only the basis for unity, but the example of how we also can promote unity in our world. Jesus wanted to bring peace, and so what did he do? He gave himself. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, it's as we give of ourselves that we also can promote unity around us. Jesus Christ himself came to make unity possible even in a very diverse world. In American culture, we have sometimes a struggle between two very different approaches to unity. And maybe you've heard this discussion in some of you in intercultural studies. There are those who, in order to achieve unity in a nation, they have promoted unity through what we call multiculturalism, where they say that in order to have unity, we should really accentuate or emphasize the differences that we have. So we highlight every individual culture, and we make every culture to stand out as unique and different. And if in some ways there are some wonderful advantages to that, but the problem is that sometimes the more we highlight and accentuate those differences, more conflicts erupt. The opposite side of that has been that in American culture, there are others who have tried for another human solution, and that is they have attempted to achieve unity by doing the very opposite of multiculturalism. They have tried, and forgive for this other word, but homogenization, where basically they try to melt everyone together until you lose all of your previous culture and we become melted together like one culture with no distinctions and no differences at all. And this also is unfortunate because then the problem is that it can create all kinds of other problems, racism, nationalism, and many other problems that we have experienced where minorities are ignored and even mistreated, and where people lose their identity because they have to submit to the larger culture. And so we see once again that human solutions do not solve this problem. But Jesus Christ has come and he has offered himself to us as the one true solution to this problem in our world. Because when Jesus offers his solution, it is not another ism. It is not another ism, but he offers himself as a person. And Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, as Ephesians chapter 2 reminds us, Jesus Christ has accomplished for us what no human solution could accomplish, because through his death on the cross, through his shed blood, and through his resurrection, Jesus Christ has made it possible that in a diverse world, we truly could be one. But not one through human solutions, but one when we all find a common identity, when our identity is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why, for me this morning, when I look at all of you, I don't see just Koreans or Filipinos or Chinese or Japanese or Peruvian or Americans, but I see my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And when we learn to view ourselves and to view the world around us through this identity, our identity in Christ, it transforms our own self-esteem, because when we know that we are children of God, we have no need to feel inferior to anyone. And when we know also, though, how we became children of God, we also know that we have no reason to feel superior to anyone else, but we know that we are all recipients of the grace of a loving God who gave to us his favor when we did not deserve it. And so three quick points that I will just touch on very briefly this morning. Number one, these verses remind us that Jesus Christ has brought us near to God, and therefore we are one blood. It says that we were afar off, but now we have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross, put to death the cause of conflict between us and God, and also the cause of conflict between fellow human beings. That through his death on the cross, Jesus made it possible that we could be identified as one blood, not just members who share the same blood of the human race, which we do, but that also in a spiritual sense, we come identified with one another through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, because of his sacrifice on the cross and what he has accomplished for us. And so we are one blood. Number two, Jesus Christ has brought us near to each other. Ephesians chapter 2 reminds us of this, that through his death on the cross, he not only removed the hostility between us and God, but Jesus Christ, through his blood, made it possible that we could be united together so that we are close to each other, in fact, so close that the Bible describes us as one family. that even though we may come from different ethnicities and different cultures, we can find a common identity in Jesus Christ. And the beauty of our identity in Christ is that our identity in Christ does not accentuate our differences like multiculturalism. Neither does it destroy our uniqueness and our special identity from our own individual culture as homogenization does, but instead, our identity in Jesus Christ allows us to be who God created us to be and to achieve our full potential in Christ. In fact, it's interesting that six times at least in this passage that we have read, the Apostle Paul mentions the statement in Christ or in himself or through him. In other words, what he wanted to emphasize is what I would like to emphasize to us this morning, and that is that the way we become family, the way that we become one, is not in our own human ways of working out our differences, but it is when our focus is turned to our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, we see here also that not only has Jesus brought us near to God and near to each other, but we see that Jesus Christ is continuing to build us together as one dwelling place for God. And that means that we are not only one family, but we are one household. I don't know about you, but in my family, we have distant relatives and we have close relatives. And then we have relatives who we are not only close by blood, but close in relationship. But there is no greater closeness than when a family learns to function together in one house. Is that right? Maybe you have experienced that here at APNTS if you are living in a dormitory. For those of you who are single students and you find yourself rooming, perhaps even with roommates who come from different cultures and different places. I remember when I was also in Bible school and I was I had a roommate who was from Korea, and I remember the richness of that experience because for one thing, he introduced me to kimchi, and oh, that was wonderful. And he introduced me to many other wonderful things about Korean culture. And thank God for those opportunities. That's what it's like when we live as one household. We learn to function together. We learn to contribute to each other and to receive from each other. And so it says in verses 19 to 22, that especially verse 19, that we are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. All of this because of our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what are the applications that we can make from this truth? Number one, we are one blood in Christ. Therefore, let us receive one another. Receive one another. Number two, we are one family. Therefore, let us serve one another. The question that we should sometimes ask is, how can I serve today? And who can I serve today? Number three, we are one household. Therefore, let us build up or edify one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, thank God for our identity in Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that as we all grow together in Christ, that we can continue to strengthen each other in that identity. And I feel very grateful for all of you, my brothers and sisters, this morning. May God bless you.